Hey everyone, this is Mike from the brand new Dark Fortunes podcast, a show about the best or the worst pirates you've ever heard of on the high seas. And did I mention we're all playing adorable woodland creatures? Well, we are. Anyway, you're listening to Redemption.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system.
Hey everybody, it's Chris. I found a really neat website that really helped me with this episode, and I want to give them a big shout out. I found a website called Tabletop Audio. It is full of all sorts of background music and sound effects. Normally, I spend a lot of time trying to find sound effects. For the first time, I found a website that really saved me a lot of time. So I just want to give them a shout out and say thank you so much for making it a lot easier for me and saving me a ton of time. That's Tabletop Audio. Also, before we get into the episode, we made a mistake in the rules. In Act 3, when Emil is in combat, I said that force protection increases my defense. It does not. It should have increased my soak. Kyle and I did figure this out after we had already played through the act. We then talked about it and decided that we really liked the way that that scene played out, so we did not want to go back and redo it. Looking at the mechanics, if we had lowered the difficulty, maybe the enemy would have hit more, but my soak would have been up, so maybe I would have taken less damage. Really don't know how it played out, but we feel it's kind of a wash, but we just wanted to say yes, we did realize after the fact that we messed that rule up, but we really liked the way the scene played out. And we don't think it really affected anything, but just wanted to acknowledge that. I'll be quiet now, and we'll get into this episode. Again, I just want to say thank you, Kyle. This was awesome, and I had a ton of fun. So Emil looks over at Sokan as they're standing there in the little park on the plateau, looks at him and just kind of smiles. It was not the first time I had to save you, nor the last.
Oh, yes. My old apprentice. You would bring that up, wouldn't you? On this, your final day.
It is not too late. I can save you once again.
We shall see who will save who by the end of this. I assume you are speaking of Canto Bight?
Of course. What else?
I thanked you then. I will thank you no longer. I know your true motivation now for what you did that day, and where you had gone, and the place you had been. And it all makes sense now.
So you are accepting my ideals, and you're going to join me?
Sokan's shoulders slump. It's hard to tell because whether or not they were already super slumped. He's pacing the edge of the plateau, kicking those stones and the scree off of the edge. It's almost as though he's trying to stay as far away from Emil as he possibly can. Every time Emil makes even the smallest of move, it's almost as though Sokan jumps out of his own skin. We scan up and down him again to see he is very ill-kempt, not what you would expect for a master user of the Force. He says nothing.
What is wrong, my former master? You seem scared.
I have seen your future, and I see no way around the outcome today.
There is a tear. Just a glint, a hint of moisture in the corner of his left eye. I should have made better choices on Canto Bight.
Yes, we both should have. Maybe you would have seen the real path for both of us.
I don't know how. So I think we flash back at this point.
Okay.
And we are on Canto Bight. It has been a couple of years since Emil made the choice in the desert that day to kill that Rodian in cold blood, or hot, angry blood, I guess, moreover, as it were. And I think that Emil has been released at this point.
Okay.
And he is no longer a mere apprentice to Sokan.
Okay.
And they have gone their separate ways somewhat.
Okay.
Emil constantly endeavoring to get back to his homeworld, constantly sent on missions that are nowhere near his homeworld, and were sent to Kanto Bite. Emil has been sent to look for Sokan, and there have been rumors and word of the machinist who has been working with the rich elite on Kanto Bite to create illegal droid fighting arenas where terribly devastating creatures have been put to the test against definitely highly illegal droid combatants. And Emil has touched down on Kanto Bite, and the first thing he sees in the distance, walking away from him, is a Night Sister that he does not recognize. He pursues her.
When Emil steps off of the ship, we can see that his horns have grown a few more inches. He's definitely in his late teens now. He's definitely grown, and he's still kind of a lanky, spindly guy, but he's definitely starting to mature, and he starts to follow that Night Sister.
Yes, he definitely pursues her quickly, and through a series of events, he finds himself confronting the machinist, who turns out to be an Itochi. And he does have the horns that swoop down there really long. He's quite old. His manner is very particular and precise. And there's been tons of droid battles already. Emil has had to confront both regular people and droids as he's worked his way through. He has uncovered and found the machinist himself. He wears medical robes / technical gear for engineering. He has one of those big wrist bracers that has the pad on it, allows him to control things. And ever since that first glance, he has not had a chance to see the Night Sister again, though he doubtlessly feels that she's connected to this. Why else has he spotted her? But he has also not seen Sokan the entire time he's been here, and part of his reason for being here is to stop these droid arena battles from happening, but also to find where is Sokan. Sokan was supposed to be here, and he was supposed to be the one who was stopping these things, and he's not here at all. The machinist's room is Spartan. There are parts, they are all neatly organized on the walls. There are heavy droid arms with wicked looking glaives and halberds attached to them. There is a bundle of servos and other internal working motors that are lined up to be assembled, and a great number of droid heads, wicked and dark in their intent. None of these are assembled things in the room. It seems to just be the machinist.
He looks at the machinist and smiles. You can see his pointed teeth.
I have finally found you. You are going to stop with these droids, and you're going to tell me where he is at.
Yes, you have found me, but I will not stop. And if you take me down, another will rise to become the new machinist. This is the way of things. Ah, you foolish Knights of the Light. You think that you can halt the Shadow's progress, but you cannot. It's not possible. What I do is safe. It is secure. People are not hurt. I am the one who is better suited to service the needs of the people and their hunger for violence and blood.
Why do you not use your talents to protect people?
Protection is... Well, it does not pay nearly as much as this. The wealthy elite of Kanto Bite pay an outrageous sum for these delights. And my talents for war and engineering are better suited here, where no one is physically being hurt.
But there is a war going on.
Young one, there's always wars going on.
Why do you not protect those that would become innocent victims of this war?
Well, that's not going to make me any money.
Emil looks rather frustrated by this concept. Because to him, money is just something to get him from point A to point B.
Yes.
He doesn't really grasp the concept of possessions and needing a big house.
I think your logic is flawed. The possessions you seek will only lead to loneliness and a unhappiness as you will need to get more to fulfill your new hunger.
I'm no aesthetic hermit, but I can see there's no changing your mind today, is there?
No. You will cease with these droids. You will tell me where Sokan is. And then you will come with me. Lord Hoth wants to speak with you.
Well, that does not sound like an interview that I'm going to walk away from in a good position. So I will regrettably tell you, no, not today. He starts to back up towards the door.
Every step he takes backwards, Emil takes two forward.
Oh my, rushing towards him. He hastily, as Emil rushes forward, reaches for his wrist piece, and he punches an ominous-looking button. There's a loud click, and the door to the right of the Ektochi, to the left of Emil, opens. I guess you could only call it maybe an assassin droid or a battle droid or whatnot. This droid steps out. It has a giant reddish orb for an eye in the middle of a round chest. It has two ball joints on either side that extend to long, gangly, but very strong-looking arms with massive pistons in the elbows. The legs themselves are digigrade and crouch low. It looks like this droid can spring forward very, very easily. And there are two tanks that almost look like predecessors to Bacta tanks on the back of it. And if I could get a quick perception check from Emil, see if he notices something right off the get-go.
What's the difficulty?
Just two purple.
All right. Just one success.
One success. There's something familiar about the stance of this droid.
Realizing that the stance is familiar to him, Emil immediately takes the counter stance to it.
Ooh.
And puts his hand on his lightsaber, and he takes it off his belt, but he doesn't ignite it yet. He looks over at the machinist.
I would hate to destroy your work. This will be your last chance. Come with me peacefully, or I will have to bring you in by force.
Oh, poor boy. You don't quite know your place here. You've said the big words. Now back them up.
And I think we should get into initiative.
All right, fair enough. That's only two successes. No advantage.
Whoa. One success and three advantage for the droid, and one success and one advantage for the machinist himself.
Okay.
And I recall we have four light side points still that we are...
Correct. Yep.
Opportunity to change.
Emil, after hearing that, flips his wrist and pops his lightsaber on, and seeing the droid... He is going to try to use move and throw the droid into the machinist.
Sure.
So I got to make a discipline check. And does the machinist or the droid have any defense?
Yes, the droid has two defense.
Right. Emil attempts to throw the droid and fails.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my dice washed.
Wow.
So he cannot move the droid. It sits there stationary.
The machinist says,
are you trying to do something?
Emil looks very upset about this.
Well, you should put more verve to it if you're going to try.
The droid slides forward just by pushing his back leg, almost like he has Heelys on, okay, as the wheels in the bottom of the droid then roll him forward. And with a flash, a lightsaber comes forth from within the droid itself. The arm itself seems to be an extension of this lightsaber. It is a green lightsaber with a sweeping curved hilt. It is very familiar to Emil. The droid lashes out to strike at Emil.
As the droid is moving forward, Emil's going to use defensive stance, which will just upgrade his melee attack by one.
Awesome.
So it'll be a red and a purple and one black die.
So he comes in, it spins on the little ball axis of the middle itself, spinning the lightsaber. This is not techniques or practical use of lightsaber that Emil is used to fighting, because he's not used to fighting lightsaber wielding creatures that have the range of motion that this spinning sparring droid has. And I have two successes and three advantages.
As the lightsaber comes at Emil, he gets his lightsaber up and catches part of it and slows the shot down, but does not defend the whole thing. So I'm using parry. That's a lot of wounds still. Still nine. All right.
And the machinist backs up even further towards the door to get out of the way of what's going on and pushes a couple more buttons on his control panel and steps through the door. What would Emil like to do?
First thing I'm going to do is Emil's going to kick in force protection as a maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a strain. I commit a die, so my defense is now increased by one.
So does that add an additional purple, or is that adding upgrading a purple to red?
Adds an additional purple.
Great.
And then Emil is going to slash at the droid with his lightsaber, flip over one of these light side, because he's also going to aim directly at the arm that the lightsaber is in, trying to sever that arm.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll add two more black dice. I also upgraded one of my yellows.
Sounds great.
Two successes with a triumph.
Wow.
It'll take 12 damage, and the triumph, I would like it to hit the arm in a way that the lightsaber flies out and lands on the ground.
Okay, because it's connected to the arm. It's literally soldered on.
Oh.
Are you comfortable then instead that whatever's allowing it to continue to maintain the pressure or whatever it's needed to keep it on, you cut that and the lightsaber goes and turns off?
That works perfect.
Okay. The machinist nods. Seems to take notes as the door closes between him and you. There is a window. He does seem to be watching. And the droid, realizing that the lightsaber is no longer connected with the other arm, does this ka-chunk as it cocks the elbow and the arm, and a what is called a Z6 riot control baton comes out, replacing what was there before, which was a stun cannon. And he spins in almost the same sort of way as he had before to catch Emil on the opposite flank. And I've used the three advantage I got last round to give myself an additional blue for this. So what is the what is your defense right now?
Emil's gonna use defensive stance again. He's taking more strain. So currently it'll be a red, two purple, and a black.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, I have two successes and a threat.
All right. What is the damage?
So in this instance here, the damage for this control baton is 8, but your soak will, of course, ameliorate that.
All right. Ugh, parry again.
And it does stun damage. So yeah, it does strain instead of wounds. Sorry, I should have told you that. It's doing strain to you instead of wounds.
Okay.
And it is disorienting. So you're going to add a black to further skill checks.
Okay.
And I will tell you this, it has something called cortosis, so it is immune to being sundered from the droid.
All right, and that means my breach doesn't work either. Emil is going to strike back with his lightsaber. He's just going to try to cleave this thing in half.
You're face-to-face with the big red gem-like encasement of the center of the ball droid.
It has that chrome edging around it that keeps that red gem in place. There's riveting all around that as well. It's very techno. You can see inside the red crystalline structure of this faceplate. It almost looks like a deep sea diving machine. And you can see, I don't know what Emil's ranks in technology are, or what his knowledge of mechanics is like, but you could make a passive check with that if you'd like to, after, of course, your strike.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to flip over another light side to upgrade one of my greens. Because Emil's not looking too good.
That makes good sense. I mean, Emil's alone.
So this is 3 successes.
Ooh.
13 damage minus his soak. Since he's got cortosis.
Yep.
And then set a mechanics check. What would his difficulty be?
Just 2 purple.
All right. 2 greens versus 2 purple. Nope.
That's okay. There are blinking lights inside of this droid behind the red crystal carapace, but you don't know what those mean.
Right.
The machinist is still standing at the other side of the door and seems to be taking notes. The droid turns off briefly, comes back on, and attempts to reignite the lightsaber. But I have 3 failures and 2 advantages. So no, it does not reignite the lightsaber, but the advantages will... I think I can spend those to give you a black die on your next attack, correct?
Yep.
Then that's what I will do. So that was the machinist's action. It is now the droid's turn, and the droid is going to use its riot control baton. Oh, sorry. So cortosis is only effective for the riot control baton that it has, not for the whole machine itself.
Oh, gotcha.
It looks brutally damaged as a result of this. Nonetheless, it is going to once more strike at Emil with the riot control baton. See if I can knock you out and make you take your full strain. How much strain do you have left?
5.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. I have rolled 4 successes and 3 threat. He uses the lightsaber arm to sweep the legs out from under you and then jabs you brutally in the chest with the control baton, and you just get that shocking laser sense as you climb and stumble back to your feet.
All right. My soak is 4, so I'm assuming he does 9 or more, because last time he did 8.
No, that's just stun damage, right? He's using the riot control baton, so that stun damage is just doing strain to you instead of wounds.
Yeah, but the base damage is, I'm assuming, whatever plus the number of successes?
Correct. So I think it's just 5 strain.
Plus the number of successes, right?
Right.
Oh, okay. So that would be 8, you said?
Yes.
Whew. My soak is 4, so I am staggering, dazed, 1 strain left. Looking around, not sure what direction is up at the moment. Realizing that this thing is very close to knocking Emil unconscious, he is going to go back to using his force hurl, and he's going to attempt to hurl this thing onto the other side of the room. He wants to get it away from him.
That's a brilliant choice, yes.
2 successes and an advantage. It takes 11 wounds as it smashes into the wall across the room from him.
Wow. You have shattered it.
Okay.
It lands heavily on the rack of pikes and halberds. One of those soldered iron glaives with the wicked-looking blade punches right through the red crystal dome of the center of it, shattering the glass, spraying out, flecking everything and yourself with bits of red crystal as the droid shudders to lifelessness, and the machinist's eyes go super wide. And you don't know this, but he takes a quick jot that says, instead of wheels on its feet, add grappling hooks that can grip the floor, as he turns to rush away.
As he goes to rush away, you said there's a window Emil can see through?
Yeah, one of those thin slatted windows that you can slide open and closed.
Perfect. since Emil can see the machinist, he's going to reach out with the ability move, and he's going to try to grab a hold of him and pull him towards him.
Okay.
So it's going to be an opposed discipline check, so whatever his discipline is, or could be his athletics, either way. Whichever one he thinks more fitting.
Yeah, one red and two purple, but you also have that door in the way of you too, so I will oppose a black on that.
Fair enough. See how this goes. So I have one success, one advantage. I'm going to use the advantage to heal a strain.
Sounds like a great choice.
So Emil has him stopped, and he's holding him in place, and he sees him through the window, and he's just walking forward. He's going to open the door to walk in there, and his goal is to grab the machinist.
Okay. The machinist is going to try to break free, but he fails with a couple of advantages. So his advantage is he locks the door. You hear the loud click of the magnetic locks sealing into place.
Emil's going to do what every Jedi should do in this situation. He's going to take his lightsaber and jam it right in the door and start cutting a hole through. Take a little while.
The door is not made of stern, solid stuff. He jams the lightsaber into the door, and the eyes of the machinist go wide and then fade to black as the machinist dies. Unless that was not your intent to stab the door right through them. I should ask that.
He was just going to try to open the door. If the machinist is in the way, that's fine with me.
The machinist is definitely in the way. He was frozen and you'd pulled him up against the door.
No, I totally forgot about it. So did Emil. So he...
Yeah.
Welcome to more conflict.
He definitely has killed the machinist. You are holding a lifeless sack of flour.
All right. Emil is going to start looking around for information on the computers about the droids that he's been building. And he's also still looking for information on where Sokhan is.
There are stairs that go up and stairs that go down outside of this room. The room was a big round chamber with the entrance you came in that led from one of the hotel casinos that down to these depraved depths, the likes of which hold detention centers and apparently droid battle workshops. The stairs going up probably lead to quarters and other areas. The steps down. This is kind of a moment for Emil where he feels the dark side of the Force up the stairs. He feels the light side of the Force down the stairs.
Emil's looking at the stairs going down, and then he looks back, and he sees the fallen droid, and he goes over, and he uses his lightsaber to cut out the arm and retrieve the lightsaber that was in there.
I love it. That's awesome.
And then he's heading down the stairs.
He touches the lightsaber in his hand, and he feels a flash of his former master, who he has not seen in some time, below him.
He starts rushing down there.
He heads down the stairs. The lights flicker as he does so. It gets darker as he heads down. There is a closed door. He throws that door open. Does he use his hand or the Force?
Oh, he's going to use the Force for sure. No way he'd just use his hand.
There, laying on a table with tons of nodules and cables and cords and paraphernalia attached to the head and chest is Sokhan. His arms are fully encased in what look to be like pin-pricking needle devices, and his legs as well are fully wrapped up and bound by technological paraphernalia, the likes of which, of course, Emil, with his limited understanding of technology, truly understands. His former master, unconscious.
Emil's going to look for any kind of computer that he thinks is the central control hub. He's going to try to see if he can figure out how to release all the machines.
It's just two purples for this.
I only had two green, so I got a failure with an advantage. So I think the advantage is he doesn't make it worse for Sokhan, but he doesn't figure out how to get the machines just to open up.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't figure out exactly how to make it work. You think you found the on switch, but you're not sure if it's also an off switch.
Emil then walks forward. He ignites his lightsaber and begins to just cut off any tubes or anything that is holding Sokhan down. and he will pick him up, even if he has to leave metal sleeves or anything on him.
Yeah.
He's trying to do it in a way he doesn't think will do any more damage.
So he ignites his lightsaber. He goes to strike. You feel a presence behind you. You turn, and a voice says,
I would not do that if I were you, Night Brother.
And Emil turns around, looks at the Night Sister.
I am not a Night Brother. I fight for the Army of Light.
Oh, I feel it in you.
She reaches out a hand,
washes over you. You feel the call of home. You'll do what needs to be done. He is nothing to you.
She looks to be about the same age as Emil. She has very pale skin. Her eyes glow with a fierce-looking intellect. And she has that Night Sister mist that always seems to accompany them that trickles in across the floor, creating for some ambient mood lighting.
Emil looks at her, then he looks back at Sokan.
He can help me free my homeworld. You only care about yours.
She nods.
Fair. If you think he will, I don't think he will. In fact, I don't think anyone will free your homeworld, Night Brother.
I will.
You've killed my machinist.
Yes. He would not understand the value of protection. He only wants to kill.
How simply you think things are, Night Brother. What is your name?
Within the army, they call me Commander Emil.
Well, Commander Emil, I am Saturnine, and you have incurred a debt to me I will seek out. Take him if you must, free him if you can, and I will return to collect my debt in this life or the next.
Emil is looking at her. He ignites both lightsabers.
I will defend him. We will leave together.
No, you may have him. It is fine.
But make a perception.
What's the difficulty?
One purple.
Boy, if I fail this, I might throw my dice across the room. Four successes with two advantage. Couple strain back.
So four successes. I mean, I was only giving you one purple because I really wanted you to succeed. I just wanted to know the depth of your success at this.
Okay.
You can tell that this Night Sister, Saturnine, has some connection, relationship to Sokan. She knows him extremely well. He knows her very well. And she tricked him. You can just tell, based on the success and the look that happens and the way she leaves, that she's washed her hands of Sokan and used Sokan to leave him in this place. You advance with the lightsabers out and drawn, and she does that Night Sister thing where she just fades into the mist and is gone with a light chuckling.
Till next time.
And we see the mist that she leaves behind, and the camera fades, and we fade back in the fog on the plateau. And that's where we see Sokan and Emil still circling each other.
And Sokan says,
I never told you this, but I was the droid. And you killed me that day. So, if that is to be my end again, it's not a painful thing. I've already lived it.
The sun is coming out, so it's starting to push some of that mist away. So we're starting to see more of the bridges, starting to see that the mist is pushing down a little bit from the top of the plateau, so we can kind of see a little depth within the mist, and we can see that it's still hundreds of feet in the air. You cannot see the acidic oceans that are underneath, and Emil and Sokan are staring at one another.
See that Sokan is chagrined that the mists have moved on and taken some of that advantage he knew he could have had.
There are still trees, because there is like a little park on top of here. This is a place where people went to rest and kind of unwind. So there are still shadows within the trees and stuff of Sokan. is looking to use something like that to his advantage.
No, he definitely wanted the mists. Being a master of shadows, he definitely was more interested in the environment around him, helping him hide away if need be.
Emil looks over at Sokan.
I grew tired of constantly saving you, Master. This will be the last time I try to save you.
How so, Emil? Do you think you have saved me?
You do not understand where the future is going.
I think I know well enough, Emil. I know when you... It all started that moment we returned those items to Lord Hoth. I knew you wanted them for yourself. I should have cut you down then. Instead, it allowed me to be captured and you to defeat me when I was that robot. You will not defeat me again, Emil. You will not cut me down as you did before.
Do you really think you have that strength within you? You could not do it before.
Sokan looks caught out. It looks chagrined. Emil has seen through to the core of his character that he is not a killer. Perhaps not. I will do what is needed and what is needful.
Then join me. Travel to Iridonia. Let us overthrow the rulers there. The Sith have a temple. If we simply overthrow it, we will determine what happens there.
I cannot do that, and neither can you. Our commands have been very clear in this stricture, and there is nothing that I can do. It is not my place to save Iridonia. And in the end, it is not yours either. I'm sorry, my old apprentice.
It is unfortunate that the politics of the Jedi are interfering with your mind and your ability to make the right choices.
We have to be held accountable, Emil. We can't just go where we will.
Why not?
Because that is the way to the dark side, Emil.
According to the Jedi.
Sokan's been pacing the entire time, walking that edge, and he turns at that comment abruptly and says, "What do you mean? You've been taught no other way. Have you?"
"No. But that does not mean I cannot think for myself."
"Fair."
"The Jedi are split. They do not even agree what should be done."
"Despite that split, the Council still made a decision, and it is not their will to see you or I there. And so it comes to this. I know your plans, Emil. And I've been sent to stop you. I'd prefer to be nowhere right now. I'd prefer to be somewhere drink in hand, trying to wipe away memories I can't help but remember."
"I wish you could see yourself right now. You are no longer the clean Jedi. You are dirty, lost in the drink. Your path, you have fallen off it."
"It's still there. I can still see it. You know what they did to me, Emil. Part of me is still in that machine. Part of me still laying in ruins at your feet. That should never have been the case. But I can't get that out of my head. I can't let the sorrow of those actions and that defeat, I can't work my way past it."
"And if we had just gone to Iridonia sooner, we would not have been there."
"Won't you shut up about Iridonia? It's not the be-all and end-all. Not even the way your path is supposed to go, Emil."
"You are correct. It is the beginning of a new path, and you know it."
"You could have attained your mastery by now. Instead, you keep defying orders, working your way around and around to Iridonia, trying to get there. It doesn't matter. It seems your destiny is to always be striving for Eridonia, never to get there.
Oh, I will get there. Very soon. History shows those that take action are remembered. I will be remembered.
I hope I'm never remembered. I will do my duty, Emil. It's the only thing I can at this point.
He's been avoiding Emil's eyes most of the time. Seems to work his way around the edge of the plateau. Finally looks him in the eye. And he says, I loved you like a brother once. No longer.
At that, Emil pulls back his robe and puts his hand on his lightsaber. And he pulls his lightsaber out slowly. And as he pulls it out, he holds it out, showing Sokan the silver handle he's added to it. Sokan now sees there's a cross guard that he has built onto it. One side is the horn from the swamp creature. The other side is a claw from one of the Viractyl. And he rotates it over so Sokan can see the bottom, where he has fashioned a small red circle that is similar to the eye from the droid. You could not beat me then. What makes you think you can now?
A brief flash of rage suffuses Sokan's face. And he mutters almost imperceptibly, how did I teach him all of the wrong lessons? And if Emil was any less perceptive, he might think that rage was directed at Emil, but it's definitely directed internal. His rage is at himself. He pulls his cloak back. His very simple lightsaber is there at his side, but he does not move to draw it.
I have learned your lessons well.
Yes, so you have.
I will remember them forever.
He's looking at his lightsaber and turning it around, looking at the claw, looking at the horn, and looking at the red light that he's assembled at the bottom.
Shall we? Or do we need to continue talking? I am happy you are here. I just wish that you would see the real path.
There is no path forward if hate walks by your side. For you or for me, Emil.
Sokan starts walking towards Emil.
I only hate those that keep us from the right path. The one path that will free everyone.
Emil, you've always tried to push the will of the Force down your own dictates. And you so infrequently consider where the will of the Force is directing you.
Is it really the will of the Force, or is it my will that I am finally understanding?
Who am I to talk? I have abandoned my path, and I've abandoned my way. I cannot live beyond the day you killed me, when I was forced and pressed into that machine. So let it end here. Let it end now. If you truly are the better master, if you truly have understood all of the lessons I've managed to impart into that thick-headed skull of yours, desperate for a redemption of Eridonia, who is so far beyond redeeming.
They do not need redemption, they need freedom.
And Emil starts walking towards Sokan.
Sokan stands there, disheveled robes, stained tunic, hands, palms towards Emil at his sides, and in the shining sunlight glitters across the shaft of his lightsaber still hanging at his side. So be it.
Are you going to just stand there and let me strike you down again?
If that is your intention. Is that truly your intention, Emil?
If you will continue to stand in my way, then yes.
My only path to redemption in the eyes of the Council is to bring you low today.
The council is old. They too need to be replaced.
So you'll kill anyone who doesn't see things your way, Emil.
Is that not what the Jedi do?
No. At least not how I see it.
How many times have we fought against those who disagree?
And how many times have you killed them when you had no need to do so?
And at that, Emil actually stops walking. And he looks down at his hand holding his lightsaber.
Perhaps you are correct. Perhaps I have killed when I should not have. And perhaps our inactions have caused the death and suffering of others.
Yes. You are right, in that you have been wrong, and you are wrong, thinking any of your actions have been right.
It seems that neither of us are going to change from our path. Therefore, you have only one choice.
Do you feel you have no choice in this, Emil?
I am the one making the choice. You are the one blindly following orders.
I can see no way forward, Emil. That leads the two of us side by side, returning to the council. And I can see no way forward, Emil. That sees the two of us to Iridonia, your bloody path to the planet's redemption. You've made changes to your lightsaber. Put them to good use.
Yes, I shall.
Sokan finally looks Emil in the eye. And does not look away this time.
For a moment, Sokan sees some inner struggle in Emil. And he can tell that Emil truly does care for Sokan. And then Emil closes his eyes. And when he opens them up, he has suppressed those feelings. And his eyes show much more focus. And his jaw clenches.
Then let us get this over with.
And Sokan can see Emil's hand shaking slightly.
Emil says it, and all of the air seems to go out of Sokan.
If we must.
He lowers his head, chin to chest, but does not look away from Emil's eyes.
Promise me one thing. My people are warriors. Give me your best. Honor my people. Be a warrior.
You undertake the actions, you will suffer consequences equal to the depth of your action.
I accept my actions and the consequences they shall bring.
And then Emil starts walking towards Sokan again.
Sokan still stands there, feet shoulder width apart, palms forward to Emil, almost a supplicating pose, shoulders stooped at this point, chin to chest, and his eyes imploring with Emil not to make this decision.
Emil walks straight at Sokan, has not turned his lightsaber on. But he gets within arm's reach and takes a deep breath.
Then we shall do this.
And Sokan, you feel this wave of energy go through you. Could you please make a fear check, which is going to be a discipline check. The difficulty is 3 purple.
One success and one advantage.
Sokan, you're able to overcome this intense wave of energy that comes off of Emil. You can feel his fear, his anger hit you, and it tries to twist your feelings into fear and hatred. But through your training, you're able to overcome this. Emil just stands there staring at you. Arms reach away.
Are you ready?
Yes, Emil. I am ready. Are you?
Yes, it is unfortunate it has come to this, but this is what has to be.
Okay.
Time for initiative.
2 successes and an advantage.
Just had 2 successes.
So Khan uses his quick draw to draw his lightsaber as an incidental action.
Okay.
One of his talents is to allow him to use a force power as a maneuver.
Okay.
He's going to attempt to bind Emil, where I will restrain you, preventing you from acting. The user may spend force to immobilize a target within short range until the end of the user's next turn. If the user used any dark side to generate force, the target also suffers 1 wound per.
So it's discipline versus discipline. 2 reds and 2 purple is a difficulty.
I have 1 success, 2 threat, and a triumph.
So Emil is staggered until the end of your next turn and suffers a critical injury. Go ahead and roll the critical.
Okay, so I've rolled a 79 plus 20 is a total of 99.
Sokan's sheer will and use of the force pins Emil's left arm to his body, and his entire body seems to freeze as Emil is shaking and struggling against Sokan's mastery of the force. And that was Sokan's maneuver. What would he like to do for his action?
He's going to spin once and cut straight through Emil, most likely.
So difficulty will just be 2 purple and a black.
All right, I'm going to take 2 strain because I will take the precise aim maneuver.
Okay.
Which I only have 1 rank in, but it reduces the target's melee and ranged defense by that number. I have 3 successes and 2 advantage on my check.
All right, 13 damage. I am going to flip a light side point.
Sounds good.
As an out of turn use, I can use protect once per session. And I did take all the upgrades. I do have to make a discipline check. I did succeed. I just defend 5 damage of that 13. I still take 8. What would you like to do with your advantages?
Well, yeah, then let's crit on you.
That's an extra 40. Go ahead and roll it and we'll see where we're at.
Well, I only rolled a 2, totaling it out to 42. So you are now considered bowled over and you are knocked prone and suffer a single strain.
What does it look like when Sokan makes his attack?
Sokan binds Emil with the force, steps forward once, brings the lightsaber down across his body, hitting Emil brutally, cutting him across the chest, and that throws Emil down to the ground, not back at all, because he's bound and immobilized in the force held. He's just slammed into the ground, laying there, a crushed, pinned figure.
And Emil is lying on the ground, crushed under the mastery of the force that Sokan has in his will. Emil looks up at Sokan, bares his teeth.
Do it. Give me a warrior's death.
Sokan's ability with Bind has got Emil trapped, unable to move, unable to take actions. He's lying there just waiting to see what Sokan will do. And we're back over to Sokan.
Sokan grabs Emil's good arm and strips the lightsaber from it.
Sokan, you flip Emil's lightsaber away from him. It turns off and it lands in the ground next to him.
And take a second maneuver and mark you for death. When I take the marked for death maneuver, I commit a force die.
Okay.
And then I add 2 advantage to combat checks against the target while the force die remains committed.
Okay, sounds like it won't take long. Be the same check you rolled last time.
So that's 4 successes, 7 advantages, and a triumph.
Okay. Do you want to roll the percentiles just for giggles?
Yeah.
So that's going to be plus 110.
Well, it's there. And crit 121, because I rolled an 11,
Wow. Is
knocked senseless. The target is staggered for the remainder of the encounter.
After Sokan's strike, Emil, his entire body just collapses and his eyes close. And then from the mist, we hear footsteps as you hear the sound of somebody running towards you, Sokan.
Sokan's caught up in the moment. He's kneeling over Emil, his hand outstretched, because he's going to try to make a heal check in the hopes that he will not die.
Okay.
I didn't do anything with my previously rolled here triumph.
I could upgrade one of your dice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Upgrade one of my dice, and now we'll roll. I have one success and two. No, I'm re-rolling this force power. I would rather see if I can get something better out of this.
Okay.
One success.
So he's going to heal wounds equal to your intellect?
My intellect is two.
You have two things of magnitude into that too, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so you can heal two more. And he does heal one of the critical injuries?
Yes, he does.
Which one do you want to heal? The knocked senseless or the injured limb?
Let's remove that knocked senseless.
He is still unconscious. He hasn't quite gotten enough back. As you're doing that, let's do a perception check.
Sure.
She is not trying to be hidden, so it'll just be an average check. But I think throw in a black die because Sokan is focusing on Emil.
All right, I get to remove a black die for some of my abilities with perception. I have a success and a triumph again.
You hear the footsteps, and Sokan, you turn around and see the Night Sister, Saturnine, comes running out of the mist. And she is staring at Emil. And she looks very angry and upset.
Sokan chuckles. I knew you were here, Night Sister. I feel your talons sunk into my apprentice. Ever since he defeated me that day, he has had a new master, hasn't he?
Yes. He is supposed to be mine.
Sokan stands up, looming over Emil's body protectively, and he says, you will never have him.
Well, let's roll initiative.
I'm going to spend a light side to...
Ooh, we are out of them. I spent one and you spent one.
Oh.
Just dark side.
I'm all right. One success, two advantage.
Okay, she had three successes and one advantage, so she goes first. So she looks at Sokan, smiles.
If I can't have him, then neither will you.
And she holds her hand out and flicks her finger. I'm going to make a discipline check. But it's not super opposed, so I'll pull this one. Ooh. Okay, so she succeeds with a triumph and a couple advantages.
I can use suppress to dampen the effect of incoming force powers, dramatically diminishing their effects on himself and his allies.
Okay.
So I would like to do that.
All right. As Emil's body is moving, as an incidental, if Sokan would like to try to suppress her force ability, you would have to flip a destiny point over. You don't have any light side, so you'd have to flip a dark side.
Sure.
Which I think would then make it an opposed discipline check, as you guys are kind of combating within the force. So you roll your discipline against her discipline, which is going to be a two red and two purple. And I think throwing a black die, because I don't think Sokan was quite expecting her to do that.
But I feel like my triumph from before can give me a couple of blues.
Or you could upgrade one of your green dice.
Sure, let's do that. So I do have three successes, a despair.
Basically what you did is you added failures to her roll.
Right.
She still rolled the despair. So you added three failures, which would negate her check. So she goes to throw Emil off the edge. Sokan suppresses her ability. Force kind of collides within the two, and Emil's body slides dangerously close to the edge. It won't take much for him to fall. Seeing that, the Night Sister glares at Sokan, flips out her energy bow. She pulls the string back and she's going to fire at you. What is your range defense?
1.
Do you have any talents or anything that can upgrade anything before I roll?
I have dodge.
Okay. The purple will become a red. All right. That's nice. So she has 3 successes with 3 advantages. Base damage is 9 with 3 successes. So the damage is 12 minus your soak. And 3 advantages is enough to kick in a critical. The shot from the bow strikes Sokan hard in the leg, giving him a nice little agonizing wound. And you will increase your brawn and agility checks by 1 until the end of the encounter. She then takes a stance, looking at Sokan. You can tell she is ready to dodge anything that you might bring at her. And it's over to Sokan.
I'm going to take some strain to use a force power as a maneuver.
Okay.
And I'm going to heal Emil even further. Try to get one of those critical injuries removed.
All right.
So that is a hard check.
And I'm going to flip over a dark side. She's shooting at you. So upgrade 1 of the greens to a red.
Sure. He stretches out because he doesn't have to be touching him with the range he's got on heal. And he asks the force to be with his former apprentice, pick himself up, make the right choice. I have rolled 2 successes, 1 threat, 2 light side, 3 dark side.
Okay.
So the 2 light side allows me to give you 2-4 health back. Is that right? 2 per?
Yep.
And you also are healed of 1 of your critical injuries.
Okay. We will heal the injury to the arm. So you can use the arm. And he opens his eyes, very confused as to what's going on. He will get to act at the end of the next round. That was Sokan's maneuver. What would you like to do as your action?
He's going to use another maneuver to grab Emil's lightsaber and toss it to Emil's feet, and then he will ready a defensive stance against any shot that may come from the Night Sister. His back is now to Emil, protectively standing in front of him, and he says, "You will not have him."
She glares at you and bares her teeth. "He will be mine."
She's going to fire at you again. She's going to aim this time.
Ooh, that's a smart thing to do.
1 defense, you said. You said you're taking a defensive position?
Yeah, a defensive stance.
So that upgrades her difficulty. 3 successes.
Whew.
3 more advantages.
Whew.
12 damage minus your soak. She's going to kick in 1 more crit. She fires the arrow, and as it strikes Sokan, he sees what he thinks is movement coming from the same bridge she came down, and you are slightly distracted, and you're only going to get an action in any maneuvers you take next round, which you only get 1, will cost you strain as you lose your free maneuver.
Okay.
But she also rolled a despair. So what would you like the despair to do?
The string on her bow snaps.
Okay. Somehow her connection with the bow ceases, and we see the energy disengage. What would Sokan like to do?
He is going to limp towards her, remaining fully defensive.
Okay. So that'll cost you 2 strain.
Yep. And I continue to be protective of Emil. All of my focus is spent upon her, and I will attempt a bind on her as well.
Okay. That's another discipline check, I believe. Discipline versus discipline, which is the 2 red, 2 purple.
Okay. 1 success, 3 advantage, 2 light side, 4 dark side. I can spend to disorient them for 1 round, so they're disoriented.
All right.
They are now restrained and prevented from action, and I spent the Force Dice to immobilize a target within short range.
She's immobilized and disoriented, correct?
Yeah. And then I say, Emil, cut her down and end her influence over you.
Emil's laying on the ground. He sits up. He sees his lightsaber there. He picks it up. He sees the Night Sister fighting with Sokan. He's going to toss his lightsaber at her. You and her are very close to each other, so I'm going to say you and her are pretty much engaged. I have rolled 5 successes, 2 advantages, and a despair.
Wow.
15 wounds with the saber. Whirling through the air, it strikes her hard, and Emil is calling it back to his hand. And the despair, since you guys are engaged, I think it's only fair that as it's coming back, it gets an attack at you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is your defense is 1. You had taken a defensive stance, so I'll kick that in too.
I want to flip one of those dark side points, though, and make it even tougher on me.
All right. 2 successes with 1 triumph, though.
Oh, my. How much damage did I take?
12 from the lightsaber. And that will ignore your soak.
Sokan falls towards death.
The Night Sister sees Sokan fall. He is unconscious, laying there. The hold that he had on her is released. She walks over to Emil, who is standing up, still very much injured, very weak. She leans over.
Now we shall go to Dathomir, where I will complete your training. And then we will become Lord Khan's top generals, and we will defeat the army.
And Emil looks over, sees Sokan is down, looks at her, looks down at his lightsaber. His head kind of slumps down, his chin resting very close to his chest. She walks over and picks up Sokan's lightsaber. And as she does, Emil walks up behind her. She stands up, holding on to Sokan's lightsaber, and she's looking at it. And as she's looking at it, a blue lightsaber comes bursting out of her chest. And Emil's face appears over her shoulder. I will answer to no master. I am my own master now. I will determine my fate. No one else will. And Emil reaches down to pick up Sokan.
You fought well, a true warrior of the light.
And as Emil goes to pick him up, we see Sokan's body slowly vanish, and all that's left are his clothes, as he becomes one with the Force. That concludes our bonus one shot with myself and Kyle. I hope you guys have enjoyed this. I did include our discussion on our thoughts and feelings on the game, as well as how we advance the characters between the third and fourth act. And at the end, I threw in a couple little kind of outtakes
from this little game session that Kyle and I did. This was a ton of fun for me. I learned a lot. I really got to play with some of the higher force powers, and I really enjoyed the back and forth with the game mastering. I really appreciate, Kyle, all the hard work you put into it, and I really enjoyed this game. And I hope everybody else did. Thank you for listening, and if you want to listen to Kyle and I's thoughts, continue listening. Otherwise, we'll see you next episode. That is the worst thing I have for one-shots, is coming up with a good, solid ending.
I think we nailed that ending.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it had nice twists.
I didn't expect the lightsaber coming back would do enough damage to Silcon out.
I'd actually taken 14 damage so far.
So I was looking at my sheet going, oh, well, I have like enough soak that those two shots from her wouldn't do much.
I have 7 soak, but you did 5 and 5, and I only have 18 wounds.
I've got 20.
Yeah. So, but even then, no, that second one, that was more than enough, 12 damage with no soak to take me over the edge.
Yeah. All right, this is my headspace. I feel like, you know, this could sound weird, but it might make sense at the same time. I feel like that's kind of how Sokan would have wanted to go out.
Yeah.
He became one with the Force. He maintained his allegiance to the Jedi. He did everything he could to bring Emil back.
Yep.
And just couldn't. Everything was stacked against him.
Yep. And Emil's so full of collateral damage. Everything Emil does has collateral damage associated with it.
Absolutely.
Sokan showed clearly that he would just annihilate Emil every single time they touched a lightsaber.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just for people who are listening, at the beginning, we actually put up our actual conflict points. And Kyle had, or slash Sokan had gotten a 15 conflict, and Emil had 16. So kind of based on the idea of the game, since I had more, I was already going to go to the dark side. We then played out the scene, and obviously you see how it played out, going back and forth. Obviously with our characters being as powerful as they were and dedicated very specifically to the Force, the combat went way quicker than I thought it would. Bind is definitely a hell of a force power to use right off the bat like that, which is why I brought the Night Sister out real quick, thinking, well, maybe the combat will go a little different and Sokan can save Emil in the end, but obviously the despair bringing the lightsaber back just changed that. I think this project, I'm very happy with the way it's turned out. I really liked the way the mechanics worked. I loved the way we did the story with the flashbacks building up to the final scene. I think that going back and forth with the narrative control, I think worked really well. That in a way was one of my kind of, I don't want to say concerns, but one of my worries in the back of my head is it easy to balance it back and forth? I think it was easy for you and I because we both are players and game masters. And we both love the good story, so it's easy to go back and forth. I hope this format is easy for other people to go back and forth. I know there's other games out there that do something like this. I didn't want to use one of those. I just wanted to stick with our system and just modify it. So what are your thoughts on it, Kyle? I'll keep rambling if you know.
I'm good at listening. I think this was one of the most fun things I've done in 2020. That this setting, that this setup, this one versus one immediately engaged and engrossed me in what was going on between these two characters. My bit of advice after having gone through this is I would make sure that as you pass the baton back and forth, that you're going back to a time of conflict between the two characters.
Yes.
And not just a moment when they were together. I set us down a path that we weren't as conflicted with each other because we were questing for something together in that very first scene when it should have been a moment of conflict. It doesn't have to be combat. It could have just been when we disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
And setting the tone of that would have been really, really effective.
I think one thing I would suggest, if other people are going to do it, maybe tone down the number of advancement points, just so the final scene, it's not so powerful. I think if I had won initiative, my initial attack could have possibly taken SoCon out.
Wow.
Well, I was rolling 4 yellows and 2 greens, plus some other abilities with a lightsaber attack.
Holy.
So there's potentially quite a bit of damage, plus some other Sheehan expert stuff and things I could have kicked in to help with the next attacks and stuff.
Yeah, SoCon only rolls 3 yellows and 2 greens, so.
Yeah. I think having the characters up at, you know, 1,100 spent XP might have been a little much. If we'd cut that in half, then I think the final duel would have gone back and forth more. But part of the fun for me in this was playing the characters that are that high in the Force. It's neat to play around with the characters and see how they're built and how things flow together. That would be the one thing I would really take away from this for sure, is maybe lower that down a little bit. And definitely, your first time through, play with somebody who you know is going to be able to really bounce that back and forth and have fun with it. You know, obviously in Act 3, Kyle, you voiced the Night Sister. In Act 4, I did. Yeah, the voices are going to be a little different.
Well, I think they were very close, though.
Possibly. We'll see what happens when the editing is done. But that's what's going to happen, though, when you're balancing that narrative control back. I actually really liked the fact you threw the Night Sister in that scene, because that helped in the fourth scene. That gave me more options as to things I could use and different ideas for how it ended. One of the tricks, I think, with it is that fourth scene could be a little tricky to plan, because you want to plan, well, if I go light side, this happens, or if I go dark, this happens, or the other character goes light, or the other character goes dark, or like in this situation where the duel happened too fast. And as the GM, I didn't want to, I don't say rob the player of a better fight, but I wanted to have more tension in that, the actual combat. So that's why I brought the Night Sister back. Behind the screen, if Emil had won right away, the Night Sister was going to come out, ask to go back to Dathomir, and then we would have played it out from there. Who knows if he would have just struck her down,
yeah,
or if he would have joined her, who knows? Really would have depended upon how it just played out. And if Emil had ended up light side, who knows? It would have been interesting, because he was so angry throughout it. And if he had been the one that had struck SoCon down, staying with the light side would have been an interesting choice for him. I think maybe he would have done it just to honor SoCon's memory and go back to the Army of Light. We'll never know.
Well, now SoCon's a Force ghost, and he's going to be whispering in Emil's ear. So we'll see what happens there.
Stop doing that. Any other thoughts on the game? Things we did right? Things we could have done better? Story-wise?
Story-wise? Yeah, no, I think it was great. I told my wife that the Act 3 with the machinist and the machine and the Night Sister was one of my favorite moments of dungeon mastering and GMing. Because it gave you such great, juicy conflict to work off of. You constantly had to make choices between shades of gray, but also good and bad. And you definitely allowed you to set the tone for how your character would appear in the final act.
Yes.
So that was one of my favorite things that I've gotten to do in a while. And the scene with in Act 2 with the two raiders, and the two items, mm-hmm, that gave us also, like, it just, the more we added to the game gave us more to play with in that final. I just feel like we could have gotten to the meat a bit quicker. I feel like I wanted to constantly toe the line, walk the edge of the precipice of the plateau for forever and never get into the conflict.
Yeah. One part, I think, as players, at least for me, I love the role playing of those things. So I feel like we could have just kept arguing for hours in character.
Yep.
Until eventually one of us either gets yelled at by our wife that we have to go do something else, or literally we just run out of things to think of. I think that's part of it. And part of it is, at least for me, I'm sitting here thinking, do I want to be the guy that starts the fight, or do I want to let Kyle do it? Or how do we get there where it doesn't feel like it was forced into it and it was the flow of the game determined where the fight started, not just, let's roll dice and fight. I wanted it to fit smoothly in there. But I also think it added a cool tension to the scene where the players don't want to start the fight, which makes the characters not want to. So the characters are just kind of still standing there staring at each other. And it wasn't just a Anakin, I'm whiny, and Obi-Wan, I love you because you're my brother type scene on Mustafar. I think there was true conflict within both of them and true hesitation on both the characters' part of, is this what we really want to do?
Yeah, I really felt connected to that scene on Mustafar between Anakin and Obi-Wan, actually, in this conflict. I felt like these two had spent their lives together. Their relationship is so much more than just siblings and master apprentice. They're more than friends because their lives have been bound together in so many ways.
I feel like if the option of let's just go to the bar and quit all of this stuff was presented, that both of them might have been like, that's not a half bad idea. Or,
isn't
hey,
that how most conflict is resolved? Like,
in real life, yeah, we just punch each other and go have a beer. But
yeah,
I think both of them had already made their decisions and their choices. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I'll say it exceeded my expectations in a really good way. And I say that because originally I thought we're going to do these little acts and they're going to be like 10 or 15 minutes a piece. But once we started into them, we both dove into them so deep that they ended up, I mean, what, an hour plus per act? This last one, we're 2.5 hours in. Now, a lot of that will get cut out because there's some dead space in there. But I was really expecting, you know, just kind of a short, hey, this is neat. The mechanics worked. I wasn't quite expecting us to both dive so deep into it, which is awesome. That hopefully shows that other people can take the same kind of format and jump into it.
Yeah, please do.
And there are tons of stories. I've already thought of doing this again, where instead of being two guys in the Army of Light, what if you're two guys in the Brotherhood of Darkness? And one is trying to repent and trying to convince his best friend to repent with him.
I have a bit of a confession to make on this, though, is that when I was 16 and first started role-playing with my best friend at the time, we were in, what, grade 10 or so, a lot of the times it was just the two of us because we lived pretty close together. And everybody else would have a job or somewhere else to be or whatnot. So it was oftentimes just the two of us hanging out. So a lot of my formative role playing was just myself and my best friend making characters. And then he'd start the game and he'd run the game for a little while. And then I'd role play. And then his character would be involved in the scenes as well. And we'd go into conflicts, great and small. And after I'd gotten my feet wet with knowing what this whole thing was, how it all worked, I started taking on some of the scenes and some of the little adventure parts myself. So we'd go back and forth more often. So most of my high school was spent 50% of the time just role playing me and a single friend in Shadowrun or Cyberpunk or Palladium or Star Wars itself. So this was very familiar for me, and I highly recommend it as an option for two people sitting around the table to tell beautifully deep stories, because there's so much more depth of character you can get when it's just you and one other person.
Oh, absolutely. It's it can become more intimate, I think, is the term we used when I talked with Angela, Chris, and Mark. And I think it also helps people, I'll say, explore a little bit of themselves in a little more comfortable atmosphere, because you have less people that are going to potentially be judging your actions. And you have one person that's just going to, you get two great players, they're just going to roll with it and let things go. And I think there were moments in this where both of us were a little lost as to what to say for a moment, because we got into the emotions of the character and it's like, what would this character really say there? And that was neat for me, especially in that last scene where, you know, like I said, Emil really didn't want to do it, was still hoping his master would say, yes, let's go do this. But there was part of him that knew it would never happen. So that was a very impactful moment, I think, in the story there. And it was neat to be able to do that. Keep using the word neat. I hate that word and I'm using it a lot. Anyways, I really appreciate you doing this, Kyle. This is the second project we've worked on, and we've knocked it out of the park both times. I'll just say that. I really, really have enjoyed this one. But thank you very much for putting in the time and the effort and the work planning scenes out and jumping on here with me.
Yeah.
We'll have to do something else later. Maybe we'll find somebody else to run a game and we can just play two brothers that don't take things serious and just spend half the time slapping each other in the back of the head.
That sounds delightful.
Maybe we'll have to find some other GM on another Star Wars podcast that needs to do a bonus episode. Hint, hint, for all of those other Star Wars
all
APs
of the other
out
ones
there.
Out there.
Tell everybody where they can reach you. Give a little
call me at 403-81. No, just kidding. You can find me most of the time on Twitter at Tavern Tales DM, because while I am a stable cast player for Flight Risk as Skip Fortuna, the irascible lounge singer, and I swear he's got charmed life complex because he just never thinks anything bad's ever going to happen to him. And so far, it's true. Nothing bad has. Yeah, you can find me every other Friday there. You can find Tavern Tales and Tavern Tales Junior, where I run a Dungeons and Dragons game for my kids and two or three of their friends every other week on Tuesdays. And those can be found wherever you would normally find your podcasts. But hit me up on Twitter, as I'm most often there.
Awesome. And I'll list all that in the show notes.
Great.
You guys know where to get me. Redemption Pod on Twitter or Berlew_Chris, or check us out on our website, Redemption Podcast. Now we do the awkward goodbye, everybody.
Yeah.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for having me, Chris. This is a super special moment. It's nice to have something like this during this tough time.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're between Acts 3 and 4, so we're going to be adding 400 more experience to our characters. I'm going to jump back into Sheehan Expert. I'm going to grab another thing of Perry. And that's it out of Sheehan Expert. Back into Protector. I'm going to grab Heightened Awareness. Allies within close range, I get a blue die to Perception or Vigilance checks. I'm going to take Center of Being. I take a Center of Being maneuver until the beginning of the next turn. Attacks against this character increase their critical rating by 1 per rank of Center of Being. So a lightsaber would, instead of being 1, is now 2 advantages. Take Grit, Dedication. Come on. Which is actually going to go, put that into Cunning. Then I will take 1 more rank in Center of Being. I do have to take a maneuver to use it, so it's not a free thing. Over to Aggressor. This is where it's going to get real goofy. Take Intimidating. Downgrade Coercion checks, which I don't think are going to really do much. Terrify. I can take a Terrify action to make a Coercion check, adding Force Dice. I can disorient 1 target within medium range per success. I can then spend 2 advantages to extend duration and spend the force die to immobilize the target. Take improved terrify so I can make that just an average coercion check. Another rank of fearsome. We're going to throw 1 into dedication. But I've already maxed out cunning, so that's going to have to go into willpower. Jump down to force powers. I'll do skills later. Anything in enhance I want to do? Nope. Move, grab manipulate so I can do things with my move as if they were my fingers. Protect, unleash. Gonna up the range 2x, up the magnitude so I can do it to 1 more person. And I'm gonna take it control incidental / maneuver. So once per turn, I can spend a destiny point to use protect or unleash as an out of turn incidental. For protect, unleash as a maneuver. And I'm going to throw some into skills. And again, I won't bore everybody listening to the skills I'm taking. Should end at 1,150 used XP.
Holy moly, that's a lot.
Yes.
What was your force total at the end?
Just 3 force rating.
Wow. Okay. I've gotten up to 880 by taking suppress all the way to mastery.
Okay.
And I think that I wanted to stretch out sense.
Makes sense.
Just seems to increase the magnitude, strength, or duration, or the range. Yeah, I don't think I'd need to go too much further. So, I've taken bind down to mastery as well. And that means that when a user is making a bind power check, if the check was not already opposed, The user may roll an opposed discipline plus discipline check against one target of the power. If no dark side were used to generate force and the user succeeds on the check, I can immediately stagger the target until the end of their next turn. Mm. If the check succeeds, this target suffers a critical injury, adding plus 10 to the roll per force spent on the check. And we just need to get to 1150, is that what you were saying?
Yep.
Take some more toughened.
That's what I just did too. I took toughened, another thing of grit. Under aggressor, I also took sense advantage. Once per session, I can add 2 black dice to any NPC skill check. Then I took prey on the weak. Add 1 damage to 1 hit against a disoriented target.
Oh, nice. So what is the terrifying kill main? M-A-N-E. It's under Executioner. It's called Terrifying Kill. The character may spend 1 destiny point to take the Terrifying Kill main.
This is the way I read it. After you have either incapacitated an opponent or inflicted a critical injury, you can take a maneuver to roll your force dice. For each pip you spend, you can cause 1 strain to each character within short range. That's how I'm reading it. But basically, you incapacitate or kill, or doing it in critical injury, and you scare everybody so much they go, oh my god, I don't want to be around that thing anymore.
Oh, cool. Right, I think that puts me to 1,050. Is that where Perfect. We needed to go to? So I've just managed to take, I got my path down to a couple of dedications to get that plus 1 to a single characteristic to increase my willpower. Because that is the one that's used primarily in suppress and bind.
All right. Since we are sort of on the topic of rules, I realized after we did the scene with the machinist that I screwed something up.
Oh, what was that?
I said force protection increases my... increases the difficulty to hit a creature. It does not. It actually increases soak.
No.
So instead of rolling the 3 purples I had you rolling, you should have only been rolling 2. When I think back through the scene, I don't know how much that really impacted things, because even if you'd hit more, my soak would have been up. I'd already knocked the lightsaber out. Most of the damage I was taking was actually strain damage. Which I think you were doing with the stun baton, but I think the increase in soak would have kind of canceled out the difference in the difficulty. I'm not sure how much it really changed it. I don't think it changed it a lot. I don't want to replay the scene because I love how it turned out.
Yes.
And I've just made a note to myself not to make the mistake again. So for everybody listening, yes, I realized I screwed it up, and I won't screw it up. At least for the next hour. Can't promise I won't screw it up later, but it happens to everybody, especially when we're dealing with characters that have so many force powers and so many different talents that most people don't ever use.
Exactly.
Especially, yeah, I've never played a character with this many force powers, so it's bound to happen. So sorry for everybody who's listening.
I'm worried. I have an entire page of force abilities.
So do I. And I'm not sure. Oh, wow.
I have 4 powers and quite a lot of them.
Yes. And I have almost 2 full pages of talents.
Yeah, I don't have that. I do not. I have 1 full page of talents. But I did get to force rating 4. So.
Page and a half of talents. All right, just to remind ourselves, we have 2 light side, 2 dark side, and when it comes to the final moments, I think it's fair to, if it's my initiative, you're free to run any dark side points you want to use, or any light side, either way, and then if it's my initiative, I'm mostly going to be focusing on light side. That way, it's not always just the GM. It's back and forth.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That's fair.
That way, you know, if you want to increase difficulty or anything, you can. I think that just makes it real easy to do. Anything else we need to go over before we jump in? I don't think I made any other mistakes yet.
Yeah, I don't know how I got... My defense is so low. How do you increase your melee defense?
talents or more armor. My defense is only one.
Yeah.
I took more defensive stance, which I can spend strain to upgrade things, and then parry and reflect that I can take strain to decrease damage. And force protect, which will increase my soak, not the difficulty.
Right.
Big note, not difficulty. I'll be honest, I'm not the guy to ask about min-maxing characters. I've never really focused on it. I took things that I thought fit how the character was developing in our little story. So if he's not maximized to his potential mechanics-wise, that's just not my style.
I would agree. I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to making characters with this many experience points. In 2 years of flight risk, I'd never spent experience points ever until this week because I was enjoying spending experience for Hosokan and thought, oh, I wonder what I can do for Skip. So that's funny. But then I really wasn't trying to min-max or anything along those lines. It just said defensive one. And I was like, I feel like I've got a lot more going on, but I guess it's not how the system really runs it.
We will figure it out as we go. Do we want to reveal our conflict before we get into the scene or before the combat? Or do you want to just play it out and then, depending upon which of us wins, we could then reveal it? That makes sense?
Sure. Yeah, I'm comfortable with revealing it ahead of time.
Okay. Because I know where I'm at right now. Of course, I also have murdered two people, so that helped me quite a bit.
It really, really did.
We should just type it in, and then on the count of three, we'll hit it and see where we're at.
I'll type mine in.
That way it's a surprise to both of them.
And for those, like, I've got my sheet here, and that's for whenever I rolled my force dice and came up with dark side points and light side points.
Yep.
Was there anything else that I was supposed to be tracking in this?
Any time that your character would normally get conflict. So if you lost your temper or used any dark side powers, so you used harm. Each time you used harm would get you some conflict. Obviously, like Emil here, who basically murdered two people. Even though they were fighting, so they weren't completely helpless, but I took a conflict for both of those, which is honestly where the majority of my conflict came from. All right. You ready?
Yep.
All right. One.
Oh, I already hit enter.
Oh. Oh. Just wow. 16 is my total for conflict. I didn't record light down.
Oh, yeah. I had 11 light and 5 dark. It was, I did not do much in that third act with Sokan. So, I.
You gave yourself the 5 from the actions I did to add to that.
Yes. So if we add any in from the third act, it would put him up to like probably 15 dark.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I did too. So the 16 is all the way through all three acts. So we're actually really close. So that would put us at 15 and 16.
It would.
Well, we could then play out the fight. A couple ways we could do it. We could play out the fight and then we could see how much more we get within the fight and then go with that, or leave it player's choice after the fight.
Yeah, I definitely feel that Sokan's first two acts were very light predominant.
Mm-hmm.
The third act, given that he wasn't there, there'll be elements of that, I don't doubt, in his motivations in this final scene. I don't feel like he's turned, but there's definitely conflict there for him.
All right, well, let's play it out. We'll see how it goes, and then we can just go from there.
Works for me.
In a world where there are hundreds of actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcasts, Tavern Tales is one of them. But if you're a fan of humor, great exposition, and module play, come check out our adventures as we work our way through the Tales of the Yawning Portal and occasionally a dungeon in a box. Every month we also step back from the table to let our junior crew sit down to tell their story on Tavern Tales Junior. So swing by and grab a seat at the bar as we present Tavern Tales weekly wherever podcasts can be found.
Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing game system by Fantasy Flight Games and Lucas Books. If you enjoy Redemption, please reach out to us on social media. Our Facebook and Twitter pages can be found at Redemption Pod, and we have our website as well, redemptionpodcast.com. Please look for us on Instagram as well. We recently started an account with Redemption Podcast. Review the show for us on iTunes, Stitcher, or other podcasting applications you may use. This does help people locate the podcast, and it does spread the word for us so more people can hear our thrilling story. If you're enjoying the story that Redemption tells and would like to offer us some support, we do have a Patreon page at patreon.com/redemption. All funds collected from the page are used to help us upgrade our equipment and make sure we're telling the best story we can with the best quality equipment that we can. Thank you very much.